As we prepare to gather around the Lord's table this morning, I'm going to read from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. Before I do so, I want to say a few things that I think will help you hear this passage a little bit better. One of the things that just remind you is this is written to the church at Rome. In Romans chapter 1, verse 13, the very first chapter, Paul says he has previously attempted to come to Rome to see them in person, but has always been prevented. And now he's writing in anticipation of actually being able to visit in person. How is it that there are Christians in Rome? Paul did not start the congregation there. We do know from the book of Acts chapter 2, as the Jews are listed who are visiting from various places for the day of Pentecost, that it mentions that there are Jews from Rome in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And so you wonder, is that how it is that there came to be a church in Rome that Paul is writing to? One of the things I would encourage you to listen for in this passage is, first of all, in verse 31 and then in verse 37, Paul's use of this term, these things. He repeats this. He first speaks of it in verse 31, repeats that phrase in verse 37. And these things that he's talking about, he emphasizes are tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and nakedness and danger and the sword, he says, which in the ancient world, the sword, in the way used the way he's talking about, is capital punishment, beheading. A second thing that you might listen for is the word love. In verse 35, he speaks of the love of Christ. In verse 37, he speaks of Him who loved us. And then verse 39, he speaks of the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That Jesus, Christ our Lord, is the great expression of God's love for us. Now I want to read chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, not anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know about you, but that encourages me when I hear that passage. We gather this morning at the table of our Lord Jesus. My conviction is that He meets us, though unseen, He meets us at this table. He is with us this very hour. And we are reminded by this bread and reminded by this cup that God our Father is for us. The fact that God our Father spared not His own Son, to use the language of Romans 8, verse 32. Spared not His own Son. He spared no expense. I don't know about you, but I tend to be a bit of a tightwad. And my natural inclination, I think it's inherited. I won't say which side of the family I think I inherited from. But I think it inherited it. But I tend to want to spare some expense. That's a little too much. Aren't you glad that in eternity, God did not say, I created those people, I love them, but that's a little much to ask. I don't think I'm going to save those folk. I think we're going to have to spare some expense here. My son would be too much. That's asking too much. Aren't you glad that chapter 8, verse 32, that Paul says, He spared not His own Son? Is there anything more valuable in the heavenly realm than the Son? And yet God said, I'll go as far as I have to go. I'll spend as much as I have to spend. If it's the spending the very best I've got, I'll spend it. I don't know about you. I think that's good news, isn't it? That God, who did not spare His own Son, I think that this verse reminds us not simply of God's grace in sending His own Son, but this verse is saying, if God is willing to spend that much, what about lesser things that are needful? The cross is a continuing reminder to us that God will spare no expense. If God would go so far as to send His Son to die on the cross, what about lesser things that we may need? This verse reminds us of the ongoing grace of God. The grace of God certainly is in its ultimate display in the cross. But doesn't that tell us if God would not spare the expense even to that extreme, will He not also give us all things that are needful lesser than that? It speaks to us of God's continuing, ongoing grace. Thus, this God, who would spare not His own Son, graciously gives us all things. Do you see that in that verse? Romans 8, verse 32. Will He not also with Him, who He did not spare, will He not also give us all things? after we eat this bread this morning, after we drink this cup this morning, we who are recipients of God's many gifts, the greatest of His gifts being His Son, we will give back to Him some of what He has given us of His gifts. But this table, this bread, this cup, they prepare us this day to live graciously all this coming week, don't they? This table prepares us to be gracious like God is gracious to us. It prepares us from Lord's Day to the next Lord's Day. It prepares us. It calls us. It encourages in us a graciousness. Because God is gracious to us. Aren't you glad? And I know I've said this before, but I want to say it again. Aren't you glad that God, before the coming of Christ, knowing our need, our rebellion, our sin, did not say, "My son, that's too much. My son, that's too much expense. My son, that's too much to pay." If, since God is willing to give His Son, to spare not His own Son, what about when we need grace this week? This cross, this table prepares us for the whole week. What about this coming week when we will need forgiveness? Because we will, won't we? What about this coming week when we are worried and concerned about food and shelter and clothing? Shouldn't this table remind us that if God would spare not His own Son, will He not give us all things? Shouldn't it inspire faith and trust and courage in us? Shouldn't this table point us to confidence in God, that He will protect us? That He will encourage us, that He will strengthen us. Certainly we do well this morning to remember the sacrifice, both of the Father who spared not His own Son and the Son willingly going to the cross. But I want to challenge you this morning to renew your faith in the continuing graciousness of God who will give us all things based on the fact we know He will spare not even His own Son. May God be gracious to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup this morning.